Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahan, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Consequences Sound film editor Dominic Suzanne Mayer, host of Filmography, a filmmaker's podcast. Every quarter, I spotlight a different visionary director and team up with a rotating panel of guests for a comprehensive dive into that director's body of work. From style to performance to the little things you might not have caught on a first, second, or third viewing, Filmography turns the lens around for a closer look at the greatest visionaries of the silver screen. Find us at Consequences Sound, iTunes, or wherever you procure fine podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an audio interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Wherever you're listening from, hit that subscribe button right now so you can keep up with the series and all of these interviews that I do. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest is Stephen Jenkins of Third Eye Blind. They've just released a new EP called Thank You for Everything. That's a covers EP. We're going to talk about covering folks like Queens of the Stone Age and Bon Iver, especially Chastity Belt. He's going to tell me about recording the song Joke. There's also some discussions of folks' perceptions of Third Eye Blind. and he gives me a little tip and an update on what we can expect from the next record and when we can expect it. It's Kyle Meredith with Third Eye Blind.
Hey, Kyle. Happy to talk to you.
This new EP, Thanks for Everything. The math is right, right? You're living in the land of the EPs. Isn't this the third one in 3 years?
Yeah. Although, you know, there are a lot of, in the sort of classic 70s, seven songs made an LP. So call it what you will. I mean, just our records tend to be much longer, and I'm comfortable with them being shorter now. Yeah. You know, seven songs is, in this day and age, is still a long listen.
With it being a covers record, though, you know, it's called Thanks for Everything. As the thank you, you know, a lot says it in the title right there. Was there any game plan?
Yeah.
How far do you push a cover to somewhere else, or do you try to stay true to it? Was there any of that talk going into it?
There's no cookie cutter for it. So, like, a track like In the Fade is pretty much unrecognizable from the Queens of Stone Age version. And what it yields, a good song sort of yields an emotional condition. So, you know, In the Fade from Queens of the Stone Age is a different thing, you know, than, you know, Love Me Harder by Ariana Grande. Like, there's just, they yield this different state. And it's interesting that you can get different kinds of, you can kind of evoke something different from the same song. But that wasn't like the high-minded thinking that brought that song together. It was just like, we had a day off. We were recording in a friend's house. We set up in his house. It was a Spanish house, and this sort of main room was very bright. And I was like, this sounds like the power station. It sounds like Tony Thompson or something. And so we were sort of jamming in that kind of like almost 80s power station funk vibe. And we just let that lead us into the way that we rendered that song.
Yeah.
So there's really no, it's really quite thoughtless.
But I do love how it came out. You know, for several of these songs, like, I wasn't as familiar with Chastity Belt's joke beforehand. And I
so
love your version. Your song, it stood out to me. I went and listened. Of course, I chased down the original after that. As I did for all these, you know, some of these I knew, but I still went back and checked them out. Like, I hadn't listened to them in a long time. But I will say, especially that one, like, that's a hell of a rendition right there.
Oh, thanks. But there's just, I'm not even close to Julia's vocal. Like, I said she's like the Nico of the Northwest. Those guys are deep, deep, deep into Seattle. And there's so many things I love about Chastity Belt. We saw them in Berlin. We were both playing Berlin at the time. And they make so much space for each other when they play. It's just like kind of crazy how they do that. There's two guitar players, and they're both playing their own kind of lead liney things, their own little bit, but they're always trying to make room for the other. And I love that kind of like gracious way of playing. And we don't have that at all. That's why I was standing there. I was like, I don't know, somebody in my band turns to me and goes, we will never be able to play like this.
But I know that's...
And Julia's voice, it's just like, I mean, she sounds like Nico to me, but without, like, Nico without the pretense.
I did read that was sort of some of the kind of reason for doing this record is, I guess, you know, for inspiration going into the next record. I mean, do you take those things right there and do you try to apply that to what you're writing?
I definitely think it's a palate cleanser. And this is, you know, Brad, our drummer, was talking about this. It was like, we're like, we have the studio time, but we're not ready to actually track. And I'm like, well, let's, you know, we have this day off in Düsseldorf, Germany. Let's get in a studio. And I mean, that's where we recorded Blood Bank there. It was great. It was cloudy and it's kind of perfect because his music's very cloudy. And, you know, Brad was saying like, it's really good to get into different rhythms, a different harmonic, a different intervals in the vocal, like, and it's kind of like a palate cleanser. Does it influence? I don't know. It definitely felt better for how we're going to go about doing what we do next, but I'm not sure how much of it's influencing it.
Well, the interesting thing about these song choices, none of them are, and I'll put in quotes, hits, you know, if you will. And I thought that really does make it a standalone record. You know, it's sort of in the way you were talking, you know, about the seven tracks as well, but it sort of makes it its own thing, whereas if this were any kind of a hits package or even had some really big radio songs on there, it feels like it would throw it off, or that would have automatically become the center of attention. And maybe you answered it earlier where
yeah.
You said there wasn't a lot of thought that went into it, but did you try to stay away from really popular songs by any kind of purpose?
I did. I didn't want to do songs that most people already had their own I wanted to be able to listen to this record and for it to be new to you, you know, basically fresh to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see the point in, you know, redoing somebody else's huge hit song. Not that I wouldn't, you know, at some point, but I don't know. Sometimes that feels a little bit, for me, it feels a little bit, turns into kind of like a commercial venture. And clearly this is not a commercial venture since we're giving all the money away.
Which is very admirable. You should go ahead and plug that. Talk about that as well. Where's the money going on this?
This is supporting the Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh. Everybody in the band, we like to go out to galleries and museums on tour. And some places, for example, the Warhol has an outreach program. And when we were there, there were all these little kids rolling in, and you could just see that they were getting ignited by what was going on. And there's something flippant and accessible about Warhol, where he's just like, you know, very proto-punk and like, I'm just going to take this thing and just stamp it. And that you could see that those kids just lifting up from it. And so we were like, we should just donate this, because, you know, we didn't write these songs. So this is kind of like, this is all kind of a gift. Let's just keep that gift rolling forward. We took this, by the way, like the studio costs off. So just wanted to keep it real. Like, we did do that.
The other thing I want to ask about is sort of about the, I'm going to say thread, is that a lot of these songs are sort of more recent in a way, not including the Tim Buckley, right? I mean, everything else is sort of, isn't it like Baby Shambles On?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. I'm not a very nostalgic person, you know? I mean, I love Parallel Lines. It's a great record, but I don't want to do the covers on it. And Edith Piaf's great too, but I don't know. It's possible we could have done some old song like that, but it's just not what came up.
It's interesting because you look at what some folks, and I'm not talking about your active fan base, because I don't think that they're surprised in your taste of music at all. If you follow you, you've been covering Blood Bank for, you know, a while now. That's, you know, so that part's pretty obvious. But for the folks who don't follow, I think that's what I read, that they find some surprise in this. Like, there seems to be a battle between what some folks think Third Eye Blind are versus, you know, what you're showing yourself and the artists you're covering. I don't even know if you give a damn about that, but I sort of saw that perception out there as
I don't give a hoot what they think. They're just so, yeah, they have no idea what we're doing. They're just lazy. It's fine. It doesn't matter. We've always lived in this space, and so there's no moving into some different thing.
Are the studio songs that you had talked about for the original Summer Gods EP, are those still active? Are they abandoned?
No, I have 27 song starts, and we're going to go work on one of them today. And, you know, I wrote some stuff over, we took a month off, took August off, and I took a guitar and wrote some stuff. And, you know, messed around with those demos in the studio yesterday. So no, we're sort of building all of these things now. Nothing's abandoned. It's just on some kind of, you know, our typical timeline. We set dates and then we blow those dates and then we make new dates and then blow those.
And last time we talked, you had also been doing that anniversary of the debut record, and you said there's no way we should count on you doing the same thing for Blue next year. Is that still off the table? Like, no big celebration for that record?
Super not going to do a Blue tour. Yeah, I promise. Yeah.
Or
maybe on like that, if we're playing a show on that date, we might play, I don't know, Red Summer Sun or something. Right. Like, there could be something that gets played from that record. But no, we're fully, like, what I want to do is just completely blow every idea to smithereens, and then from the stardust of that explosion, make a whole new sound. That's what I want to do. And I don't really have, any interest in doing anything else. Yeah, I just don't want to have any third eye, like, you know, like the Third Eye Blind sound is what provokes us. That's it. That's the definition. There's no other set of ingredients. And the last of the rock bands, I think, you know, there just aren't very many people who are, like, not only can play, but, like, have developed that empathy with each other as musicians so that, like, you know, we can go in as a unit and just bump. Like, there's a few, but there just aren't very many. And it's a great thing to have when we play live because we stretch tempos, we can go. There's a feeling that you get when a band like ours plays live, which is like we're not playing along to somebody's click track or to somebody's MacBook Pro. So there's a sense of spontaneity, of possibility that happens. And that is that you can see that lift people up. So it's a thing I really value, but I'm not rooted to it in the studio. Like we can, some songs we're going to play, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 and play them live in the studio. There's a song called The Kids Are Coming to Take You Down. And it's, you know, that's a song that will just be, you know, played live looking at each other in a room. And then there's other songs that we'll use totally different methods of getting to that emotional condition that is, the point of the song. So I'm just saying that, like, I really don't like being held down to any expectations.
Well, that's what keeps it exciting for us. Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to hear what the new material sounds like. You know, you've talked about it. You've baited me. I'm ready to hear it.
I think it's going to be a much more immediate record. A lot of our records take, you need to kind of like live with them for a while. This one ought to be able to will just like make itself at home very quickly. That's kind of the thing that I was thinking of. And like, we played so many festivals. I always have sort of a mind. I would see kind of like the visual of it. Like I'm seeing it being played and heard. And a lot of that is about like, it's kind of meant to be absorbed in groups. Like I remember the first time I saw, what's it? Get high on that paper, get high on that planes.
Is it MIA?
Yeah, MIA, yeah.
Yeah.
The first time I ever heard that song, she was playing a festival. And the very first time I heard it, I went, oh, yep, this owns me. Whatever this is, like, I'm just in. I'm all the way in this landscape. So I kind of look for that feeling as I'm playing. I would say that's my only kind of... Also, it's like, I'm just dying to be freaked. Anytime there's, like, a chord or a, you know, like a chord change or something that just feels kind of tried and true, I'm just like, get rid of it. Like, any phrasing, I just want it to be like... I want to be able to be blasting this in London and for it to feel right. It's got to stay strange for me.
Well, knowing full and well that you might blow the date out of the water, is there at least a hope of when we might hear some finished stuff?
Yeah, spring for sure. That's really, I mean, that's what I'm working on. You know, we're working on it now. But just things get in the way, and we've got some festivals and a few like that. But we're on the job for spring. My hope. Yeah, but I was just thinking, it was like keeping it strange is like that's like one of my kind of criteria. As I was saying that, the thing that occurred to me is like, what's fucking stranger than like a rock band? There's like four of us left, you know? So that could be something weird. Like one of the weirdest things you could possibly do is have no click track and count it off in studio. People are like, what the fuck is this?
Well, cool, man. Well, Steven, thanks so much for chatting today. I should say thanks for everything. That's how I should wrap this up, right? I should say thanks for everything.
Okay, mate.
It was a pleasure to talk to you again. Hopefully we can do this in the spring with new music.
Yep, talk to you again.
All right, Bye. Take care. Bye. My thanks to Steven Jenkins from Third Eye Blind. Again, that new covers record is called Thank You for Everything. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button right now so you can keep up with all of these interviews, whether you're listening on YouTube or you're listening to the podcast version. iTunes, Podchaser. Also, give it a rating. Leave a review as well. After that, you can head to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show every Monday through Thursday from noon to 3 Eastern, where you'll also find some bonus episodes of this series. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Assisted customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.